Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house on this Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit here in the Christian Church. Well, it's been a month of changes here at Berry. Just a few weeks ago, we were able to loosen our social distancing requirements. And of course, last week, the KCMO mask mandate was lifted. And now this week, you'll notice that the bulletins are a little bit lighter than they have been. They no longer contain the hymns that we'll be singing this morning. So we can now use these beautiful blue hymnals that are in your seats in front of you. I never thought I'd miss these things so much. Did you all? It's a good change to be going through right now. And also the communion elements have been placed up here on the Lord's table. So we will begin celebrating the Lord's Supper after a year plus long hiatus. And today we'll also resume our time of Sunday school. We'll be inviting our children to the fellowship hall during the Sunday school hour for a time of fellowship and snacks and to get reacquainted with their teachers. The nursery is also open today, and all these things for the first time in about 62 weeks. For those of you who with children in the nursery or who will come to Children's Church with us, we would ask that you keep your phone on vibrate so that we can text you if your children need your attention during that time that they're with us. So folks, it does appear that we're on track to resume our pre-COVID faith traditions, which is something that we've been praying for some time now. All right, now may we begin our worship service together with our call to worship. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. The times and occasions are set by God's own authority, and it is not for us to know when they will be. And will be witnesses for Christ in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria. Thanks be to God. Let us sing our opening hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies, number 100. We'll sing all stanzas.
Gilds the skies, my heart awake cries. May Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. Discordant humankind, in this your conquered find, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around ring joyous with the sound. May Jesus Christ be praised. Sing suns and stars of space, sing all that see his face. May Jesus Christ be praised. God's whole creation o'er, both now and evermore, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this while life is mine, my canticle divine. May Jesus Christ be praised. Be this eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised.
May we bow for a word of prayer. O God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who teaches us all things and reminds us of everything that Jesus taught us during his time on earth with us. Loving God, we are grateful for the ability to worship here in person at Barrie and to experience the Lord's Supper for the first time in over a year and to share these meaningful moments with our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we now feel the living presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through that gift of the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship service together. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon as we sing Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
This is what my stage is supposed to look like. Yay! Hi, guys! To see us. Do you remember this guy? Do you remember him? This is Rocky from Tennessee. So, how you doing, Rocky?
Good.
The kids? We're going to talk about a little bit about Pentecost. Yeah, I know. You don't know what that is, do you? He does not have a clue. Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. He doesn't know what that is either. Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when he had to leave us, Jesus said he would send us a helper. No, he's not going to help you clean your room. Not that kind of helper. This kind of helper comes into our heart, and he helps us know what God is telling us, what Jesus wants from us. He sends God's love and God's Spirit into our heart to help us learn about God, to help us know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. All kinds of, he just helps us learn. And that's a very good thing. We need somebody to help us learn, don't we? Even us big people. We need somebody to help us learn. Because sometimes we kind of forget to do things the way Jesus wants us to do them. Sometimes. Hey, say hi to your grandson. So we need somebody to remind us what we should do, how we should act, what God wants us to do with our lives. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. So can we have a little prayer? He's ready to pray. Are we ready to pray? Okay, let's bow our heads. Good job. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. May we always listen to the Spirit in our lives and help us to remember to follow, because the Spirit will never lead us in the wrong direction. It will help us learn and grow as disciples. And we all need to have this into our lives. Help us each and every day be kind and loving to all we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So are you ready to go to Children's Church? Me too. Let's go.
Thank you, Kathy. It certainly is a joy to see our children up front again, is it not? Praise God. We're just so grateful. As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember as this new week is upon us. We want to lift up Ardith Haynes, as she is at North Kansas City Hospital. She had gone home and then had to return as some concerns came up again, so she'll be going through more testing to assess what is happening for her. We lift up Barbara Mayberry as she is recovering at home. We lift up Grace and Jean Kimberling as Grace is in hospice care at home. But when I was visiting with them at their home this past week, Grace was very much alert, and it was certainly a joy to be able to actually see them personally once again. We lift up Jerry Treese in the midst of his treatments for cancer. Carol Cook's daughter, Christy Cook, is in our prayers as she's recovering from surgery. Savannah Gorman, the granddaughter of Kathy Gorman, is in our prayers. She's undergoing some tests at the present time. Barbara Mayberry's daughter, Shannon, had a knee replacement surgery this past week and is doing well. We also lift up in Doris O'Neill's family, her granddaughter, Taylor, and grandson, Lane. We also remember Linda Stevens' sister, Donna. Anna Hex, the cousin of Edna Williams, continues to be in our prayers. And Edna, it is such a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning, too. We continue to remember Rihanna Ralston with the ongoing health concerns for her, Carolyn Comfort. We lift up George and Betty Barnes, and also Patty Nelson, the friend of Perla Mora. So with all these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. We rejoice in the privilege to worship you, O God, on this Pentecost Sunday. Even though Christ has told his disciples on many occasions that the Holy Spirit would be coming, even as he had asked them to remain in Jerusalem so that they could receive the Holy Spirit, we know the Spirit's presence on Pentecost was still a tremendous and surprising experience to so many who were touched that day. So it is also for us, O God. In so many ways, you have proclaimed your reassurances to us as your children, but yet we too are surprised by your loving care, grace, and desire to journey with us personally. May it be on this Pentecost Sunday very reassuring and comforting to every one of us that Christ tells us that your Spirit, O God, now dwells within the hearts and minds of believers permanently, from the time we invite Christ into our lives throughout all eternity. With such companionship from you, O God, may it be with confidence and a lighter step that we experience your great joy with each new day. We mourn the loss of lives of many caused by the hands of the few, not only in our nation but throughout the world. We pray for calm and the ceasing of hostilities in Israel and Gaza as a ceasefire was declared this past week. We pray that the day will come in which all peoples will truly believe that we are all your children, created in your image, and thus worthy of equal rights, privileges, hopes, and aspirations. May it be, O God, that we will remember that it was on the very first Pentecost that all believers could comprehend each other's languages, giving credence to the notion that your love encompasses all people of all nations everywhere. We seek your universal guidance and peace, O God, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. With Christ's ascension into heaven and with the subsequent presence of God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there is something new. Jesus makes a significant promise to his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, as he states, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God." During the 40 days of his resurrected appearances, Jesus would appear only at random to teach his followers. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is telling his disciples, as he is also telling us today, that the Helper, God's Holy Spirit, since Pentecost, stays with us forever. As we share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's table, we remember that it was the sacrifice, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that made the permanent presence of God's Spirit at Pentecost with us possible. Our communion hymn, number 241, as we remain seated, we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of Holy Spirit, Truth Divine.
Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine, voice of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. Spirit, power divine, fill and nerve this will of mine. Boldly may I always live, bravely serve and gladly give. Spirit, joy divine, gladdens now this heart of mine. In the desert ways I sing, O living water, water spring.
Apostle Paul, when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are so honored and blessed to be able to gather around your table, for we truly do not know what we have until it's gone. We thank you now for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the remission of our sins. As we partake of this bread and this cup, may we use this as a reminder of this sacrifice, and may it give us the assurance of eternal life. May you also give us the Holy Spirit to help us spread this message to everyone we come in contact with outside these walls. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. We remember that the first Pentecost at the temple in Jerusalem was certainly an evangelistic endeavor, as Acts chapter 2, verse 41 reminds us that many believed the teachings of Peter, and about 3,000 people were added to the Christian fellowship that day. Thus, as we receive our offering this morning, we remember that of our tithe, our congregation also tithes 10% of our resources that go way beyond the walls of our congregation for the needs of many in many circumstances. Again, it is our endeavor to continue to proclaim the gospel and to also meet the needs of people. And so with a word of prayer, we receive our tithes and offerings in celebration for what God has already done for us.
Our Heavenly Father, bless these tithes and offerings we are about to receive. Help us to use them to better spread your word and love throughout our world. Bless our church and our minister. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, we pray this offering will be used for your glory and purposes now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Kimberly. Thank you. Scripture text I'd like to share with you this morning are a couple of verses here. First of all, John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus offers a promise to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to his disciples after the Lord's Supper and before his departure to the Garden of Gethsemane and ultimately to the cross. The promise that Jesus offers is this: the Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as the Apostle Peter speaks to the believers about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has descended upon them on Pentecost, he says, "Each one of you must turn from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit." May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're indeed grateful to once again be in your house and to offer up worship and praise, and certainly in a way that has been most familiar to us over the years, for the opportunity to return to our routine. We're indeed grateful for it. Helps us to feel that we are indeed engaged with you and with one another in a most significant way, and especially on this Sunday called Pentecost. We celebrate your presence with us through the blessing of your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today our lives are powered by electricity. The illumination and comfort of the sanctuary would be difficult without it. The mobile phones in your pockets would be nothing more than packages of glass, metals, and plastic if it were not for the electric current. It's hard for us to imagine that 133 years ago, as electricity was beginning to light up streets and homes and powered devices of the nation, it was considered a novelty of the idle rich. In 1889, Benjamin Harrison brought a lot of American heritage to the White House, as he was the grandson of the 9th President of the United States and also the great-grandson of a signer of the Declaration of Independence. But the novelty of electricity was so very much feared by the 23rd President that he and his wife, Caroline, both refused to turn on the switches themselves. Instead, White House staff members were instructed to turn the switches on and off of these newly installed electric lights. How would you like to have the job of thinking that every time the president started moving from one room to the other, it would be your job to hurry on over and punch — there used to be buttons back then, by the way, remember? — punch the button. It also, though, makes me wonder how much the Harrisons must have thought about their staff, because, you know, here they wouldn't touch those buttons because they were afraid they would be electrocuted. But they were okay with letting their staff try it, right? Gosh, talk about feeling like a minion in the system here, you know? Such skepticism about the emergence of electric current continued, so that even 11 years later in 1900, a newspaper reporter in Portsmouth, New Hampshire wrote, "And what of electric current flowing through our homes and streets?" By the way, when you're talking about streets, it was the trolley cars, the lines overhead, and the trolley cars that they were talking about with regard to the streets. That and, of course, an electric bulb every once in a while being installed outside, but mostly it was the trolley cars. "The untapped electrical fluid leaking from these outlets and wires, we are told, may cause serious bodily damage, and with prolonged exposure, possibly death." That same year of 1900, the skies over Paris lit up as electric light bulbs adorned the Eiffel Tower that had been constructed the year before, striving to compel people to believe in and engage in the use of this miraculous new resource. Yet the conveniences made possible by electricity were still slow in transition, were they not? I had a photograph of my office at the Christian Church, which was across from the Capitol building in Lincoln, Nebraska. The building had been built in the 1920s. The photograph showing the pastor's desk revealed a wooden desk and a chair there, of course, and, of course, a mechanical typewriter. One globe above the desk hanging from the ceiling, and, of course, one little single-bulb gooseneck lamp kind of hung over the desk. I thought to myself time and time again, how on earth did that pastor read what it was he was trying to type? I know I'm getting older, but I got bulbs all over the place, hanging everywhere. Try to help me, don't you? But without that light, my old eyes are just not seeing it. And so, again, that was even in the 20s. Takes time for all this stuff. When I was at that church, the electricians had to jackhammer through the masonry walls in order to add the conduit to add enough electric outlets so that I could go about my business of the things that we are so accustomed to using nowadays and just running a simple office. Yet, as the decades have progressed, electricity has become such a vital component of our daily living that this past week we were introduced to an electric version of the nation's best-selling vehicle over the last 39 years, and the best-selling pickup truck for the last 44 years. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Surely you watch the news, the Ford F-150, what? Lightning. And if you followed the news, you know that you'll be able to travel 300 miles on a charge. You can actually plug in 11 different power devices. Isn't that quite the deal, Curtis? 11 plugs! And on top of that, if the electricity goes out in your house with the next storm, if your car or truck is set up to be, you know, charged by your home, the battery power, assuming it's completely charged, can be reversed, and it will power your house for 3 days. Now, of course, the battery pack weighs 1,800 pounds, which is almost as much as a sports car I once owned, a little convertible. But isn't that incredible? Where have we gone with the notion of electricity in 130-odd years? A few days after the ascension of Jesus, Acts chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that about 120 Jewish followers of Christ were gathered in Jerusalem for the Jewish festival that was simply called the Festival of First Fruits. First Fruits was an annual celebration held at the temple in which Jewish people from around the world gathered to offer thanks for God's provision by offering the first of the harvest of seven key products that grew in abundance in Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, the text says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and fountains and springs that flow through the valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey." Those are those very precious agricultural resources of the land of Israel even today. "A land where you will eat food without scarcity, where you will lack nothing." That was like heaven on earth for people who had wandered in a wilderness experience in generations previous. But on this particular First Fruits Festival, as Jesus had previously promised, a miraculous event took place. Acts chapter 2, beginning with the second verse, tells us, "Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the house." Now, the word house here in the Greek actually could be just as much a reference to temple. And it is believed that the followers actually met at the outer wall level of the temple in Jerusalem when this event actually took place. When the text says they were sitting, they were likely sitting on the stairs at that entrance. And there they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. And then in the sixth verse, the story says that they were all excited because each of them heard the believer talking in his own language. In other words, for example, if someone were speaking in Spanish but you didn't know Spanish, all you knew was English, you would actually understand the person speaking to you. That's the significance of the blessing of the Spirit and the speaking in tongues at this moment. It really shows kind of a universal message of how all of God's people from all over were considered welcomed into this new fellowship. And then in the 12th verse, amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" And Simon Peter stood up and preached about Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, he says that the text says that many of them believed his message and were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added that day. It says they were baptized, 3,000 people. How long would it take to baptize 3,000 people here? That'd take a while. What you have to understand is at the base of that entrance to the temple were these large pools, bigger than this room, about 2 feet deep. That was the places where the pilgrims would come, and they would take their outer garments off, and they would walk into these pools and throw water over themselves and wash themselves. It was a cleansing rite before they then would put their outer garments back on and then make their progression up those stairs and into the temple. If you had a 2 foot deep swimming pool, it wouldn't take long to baptize 3,000 people. Archaeologists have uncovered those pools and have validated the truth of this story in the scriptures. At this Pentecost event, the Christian faith was an emerging novelty. The idea that the very Spirit of God could come and dwell within a person seemed amazing. God's presence within oneself, not just God out there. You know, we often hear people talk about, well, you know, the big guy up in the clouds. Well, you know, the Creator. We hear a lot of things where we talk about a distance between ourselves and the old man, so to speak. Like God's up somewhere else and here we are muddling around all our stuff. What we have to understand is that the essence of the story of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit indwells. The Holy Spirit comes within us and becomes a part of us. This is an amazing thing for us to think about, as it is the origin of the Church of Jesus Christ. You see, the Festival of First Fruits for centuries had been a celebration of God making provision for lives in physical abundance by bringing forth an offering of the very first fruits of these various items I just shared with you that were so predominant throughout the land of Israel. The people would bring the offering of the first fruits, in other words, the first that was harvested, they would offer to God as a way of expecting that the rest would also be provided for God, by God, as the harvest continued. You know, you've been growing those old tomatoes a long time, and here's that first one coming off the vine. I think, wow, look at this. I've been working on this thing for a long time. Here it is. You give that one to God instead of eating it. Could you do that? With the expectation that there'd be more. But it's a celebration of that abundance, the physical abundance. Yet what we see here in this first Pentecost is a celebration of a spiritual abundance that comes forth because of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And the coming of the Holy Spirit as a helper had been promised time and time again by Jesus even before this event took place. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says to his disciples, "The Helper will come, the Spirit, who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father, and I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me." In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus told the followers not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me." At this first Christian Pentecost, the emergence of the Christian faith and the blessing of the Holy Spirit's presence may have appeared to many to be nothing more than a novelty. When we read the text, we often think, oh, what a wonderful thing that must have been for them. And we leave it there, and we leave ourselves separated from the blessing of the Spirit. But what we must understand is that the indwelling of the Spirit for the believers then has just as much significance for you and for me. Because the truth of the matter is that we understand that when we make our confession of faith, the Holy Spirit's presence comes upon us in a most dynamic and most significant way. Here we look at Acts chapter 2. The Apostle Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit dwells within you from the time you make your confession of faith. But the question remains, do we look at the blessing of the Holy Spirit as a mere novelty that only benefited the apostles and those early Christian followers? Or do we believe that the Holy Spirit is present to give a spiritual abundance to us? You see, it's kind of like electricity. If you don't plug your stuff in, if you don't keep those batteries charged, and of course the only way you keep them charged is that the thing that charges them has also got to be plugged in. If you don't keep the stuff plugged in, all your electrical stuff is what? Absolutely useless. Unless, of course, you got that Ford 150 pickup truck, right? But it's got to be charged sometime, doesn't it? For you and me, as believers of the faith, we need to recognize the Spirit's already there. But are we plugged in? How do we get plugged in? It's a discipline. You know, last week I was talking about, you know, the discipline of just dwelling in the Word of God by reading and by even vocalizing the Word. It's a way to keep us connected to God in a most dynamic way. But we stay plugged in to the guidance and blessing of the Holy Spirit by seeking it, by continuing to read the Word, and by asking even as we start today, "Lord God, what would you have me do for you today? Lord God, as I'm reading this text, what is it that you would like for me to learn about you today? Lord God, I've got this decision I've got to make. How will you guide me?" And I know from experience that if you do that, the Spirit talks to us, communicates with us in most dynamic and wondrous ways. I cannot tell you how many times just acting on a notion that just pops into my head was the right thing to do. Or even to the extent of driving down the highway, for as I've said to you before, going down the highway and something, you know, boom, Dennis, go see so-and-so. Well, so-and-so's in the hospital at this exit. Well, the exit's just right up there. As I'm zooming down the road, it's the next exit. Do I exit and go, or no, I got things to do all day? Well, I one time exited when I heard that. Something just said, "Dennis, go see so-and-so." "I'm going to go see her later." "No, go now." And I walked there to the hospital, got into the intensive care waiting room. There was this woman's son. I said, "Jim, what you doing here this time of day?" Because he normally would be working that time of the day. It was mid-morning. He said, "My mom is not doing well. And you know, she passed into the Lord's presence in less than a half hour. But we were both at her bedside when she passed." 15 years later, I saw Jim and his wife at a gathering of one sort. Jim and his wife, as they were visiting them, they said, "Dennis, we just cannot tell you how much it meant for you to be there." Wow, I didn't think too much about it. But you see, the Spirit will guide us. But we got to be plugged in. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or today's your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the hymn of invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 248. We'll sing all stanzas of Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, 248.
Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with all your quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Hosannas languish on our tongues, and our devotion dies. Waken our souls to joyful songs. Let pure devotion rise. Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with your enlivening ways, come shed abroad the Savior's love, and teach our hearts to praise.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And again, a reminder, we are also back to Sunday school classes. We do have a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall, which is just below the sanctuary, if you'd like to join us for a bit of coffee and the like. And then again, Sunday school starts at 9:45. But our children will be gathering downstairs for their time today as they kind of have a meet and greet to begin with. And then our children will return to their respective classes next Sunday. But our adults will be going to the classes that we had pre-COVID. You know, that's going to become the new phrase, right? Pre-COVID, post-COVID, whatever. May we bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us, strengthens us, and renews us. And for this we give thanks. As we step forward into the new week, may we know your Spirit is always with us to guide and comfort us. For this truth we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Jesus, our only joy be thou, as thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou